I already found a typo in it, so I'll try to point that out. Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about a survey that we've been working with, and the general title here is Factors Contributing to the Perceived Usefulness of Soil Test Information by Cotton Growers. And this is a multi-state, multi-institution project, as is evident by the signatures up there. And my colleagues, Roland Roberts, he's here, and Jim Larson's here, hosts of us from Knoxville. David Harper is a graduate research assistant that's been helping me out with this. In fact, a lot of this is going to go into some of his thesis work. And Sherry Larkin is here with us from University of Gainesville. So I'm going to talk about a couple things, but just to give an overall motivation and objectives of what I'll be presenting, we're going to be looking at really a preliminary analysis of a recent survey that we've conducted, sponsored by Cotton Incorporated. And in particular, one of the things that we look at is soil test use, adoption of the technology by cotton growers. But then of particular interest is, of those who have adopted the soil testing technology, how long do the growers perceive this information to be useful? So anecdotal evidence is about 3 to 4 years for some inputs. Soil nitrate might be every 1 or 2 years. Aside from economic reasons, there may be some other personal farm business operator and off-farm attributes that could influence these managerial decisions. And so one of the interesting questions then is, what types of information sources do producers try to access to broaden their understanding of soil fertility and how to manage soil carryover? And as an organization, first I want to give a really general conceptual background. What is the economic value of soil testing? I've been thinking a lot about this recently, and put together something that hopefully highlights that a little bit. I'll briefly go over the cotton survey, talk about some of the factors that may be correlated with the adoption and use of the technology, and then go briefly into some of the results. And so getting into the conceptual background, we all know that there's a bewildering amount of information that producers would really like to have in order to make the exact or adjust their inputs exactly to what they need for production. And you know, all sorts of minerals and nutrients, plus inputs, plus farmer skill, plus who knows whatever, random events, weather, et cetera, leads to some crazy pattern we call yield. And what people would want to know is which of these relationships are useful, and how can we establish, if at all, causality between what we do, what we decide to do, and then how that influences our profitability. And as a background, I want to motivate this part of the research just by reviewing a yield response trial that was conducted over a 6-7 year period in Minnesota, variable rate N and P, corn soybean rotation, and I'm going to look at P in this part, but really we broke down about a 20 acre field where we could estimate, if you see that one gray strip, that's one strip that gives us a yield response for that particular area. So through this experiment, we can estimate simultaneously 69 different yield responses to N and P. Looking at it, those are 69 yield responses, and it shows you what kind of variability producers are dealing with within a single field. And that's corn over a 3 year period, phosphorus. So you can see some stability over years, but other years, the 1 year that's shown up in the right hand corner with the photo image, there's a lot of rain and it got washed out. So you see a lot of the, where the red arrow is, some corner solutions to any kind of yield response. What does this look like? Well, we get this idea that if you look at the bottom panel here, this corresponds with section 3, which would be this section right here. And looking down here, this is spatial variability, but then all of the lines give you corn soybean response, which is your temporal variability. So one would conclude that this particular area of the field, you can get a pretty reliable bead on what that marginal response to phosphorus is. In other places of the field, though, that pattern just breaks down, is completely random. So this is just kind of a background of the kind of information that could be useful for managing inputs, not only over space, but over time. And this comes down to the first step, really, is getting soil test information. What's the cost of getting this? And that's the question. Soil testing has been around, at least the first reference I could find is 1929, and anecdotal evidence about 3 to 4 years, maybe more frequently for soil nitrate. And in cotton production, at least, soil tests are really an entry technology. So one of the first kinds of precision agricultural technologies that cotton producers get into is soil testing. From then you layer on other kinds of information sources to supplement. But then over time, you can think of soil test information and other types of information gathering technologies as being substitutes or complements. And so substitute over time, somebody might substitute or start testing less frequently using soil test and maybe use electroconductivity as an example. What this comes down to in an economic context is we're really looking at the management of a complex dynamic system over time, and there's a trade-off between carrying capacity of your soil, plant nutrient uptake, plant genetics, which relates to yield response, prices, and then a host of other things. So it's really difficult to boil any of marginal analysis of soil test information into an easy single-shot understanding of it. But one useful way to look at this is through dynamic fertilizer carryover analysis, and I'm just going to briefly go into this. And we can break this down into total available fertilizer with X, which is our input. S is some sort of amount of nutrient in the soil present during some sort of production period. I call it T here. And this parameter right here would relate to your plant efficiency uptake, basically. So when that approaches one, you put down the phosphorus, everything goes into the plant, and it's used in production. But that's probably not going to be towards one, it's probably going to be less than that. Then you get this idea of carryover for the next planting period. And this is where this area right here, you get plant drawdown, and then this says you only get some fraction of your input, and then what was left the period previously available to your plant in the next period. And again, this is talking about your carrying capacity and how much soil or how much nutrient is remaining from your previous work on the field, your previous application schedule. And I'm not going to go into this, but this is how we determine the marginal value of the soil test information, at least one way that I've been trying to look at it lately. And the solution to this gives us, or the producer, an optimal path, an optimal schedule over time for a particular region of the field. So economically, we know that the marginal plant growth due to an extra pound of input is really just equal to the input cost price ratio, but when we solve for this dynamic problem, we get this soil credit coming into play for this relationship. And you see that your price ratio, you get this discount for the amount of soil or the amount of nutrients that's left over and available in the plant in the previous period. That would be this parameter here. And then you get a bonus, essentially, from your nutrient uptake. So what this comes down to for the producer, this is really the marginal value, one could argue, of that soil test, because essentially you're discounting or you're not having to pay as much for your input in the next production period if you know what information is there. And that's where this boils down to. We can look at this over time, and if we've got year on the bottom and we've got plant nutrient uptake efficiency increasing from, I just simulated this 0.25 all the way up to 0.75, the different colors are the soil carrying capacity, and you can see how that changes as nutrient plant uptake becomes more efficient. You get a different switch in terms of your total available fertilizer to your plant, and this is where that discounting of your input cost comes into play. because you actually end up building soil to an optimal capacity that the not only the soil can retain the nutrient, but it will be passed on to the plant into the next period. If you look at return per acre with this particular kind of information, you get similar results in terms of that extra boost to your revenue, having that information in hand. So this is just a simulation. What I want to get at, really, we looked at this using real data with the Wyndham trials, and the left-hand panel is uniform phosphorus application, so this would be a whole field recommendation, and compare that with variable rate fertilizer application, and you can see the value of the information. It's also site-specific. So there's a lot going on here, and in terms of getting this kind of information, it costs time and money. And this is where we link it up to the survey. We can look at information for soil test and precision ag in general as being dense or thin information. And if the bottom axis, if you increase it, soil test, it's pretty good information, but you can add technologies on to soil test information, getting more information, adding more crop layers to your management plan. But of course, this is gonna cost time, money, and skills. And at this point, a lot of this will be related to skill sets of the producer, experience, farm size, host of other factors, and that's kind of what we want to look at in terms of what kind of demographic information will help us understand these adoption patterns. So the cotton survey, this is a really unique survey, and it's really nice to be able to work with this. It's been going on for a few years. I think we have three panels now, going back to 2001, and 12 state census, and we got this year about a 12.5 response rate. It's okay, but you know, at least we've got the entire list frame of cotton producers, and we're sampling those individuals. We also post-stratify the survey by farm size class to get a better estimate of what's going on in the general population from the response rate that we received. This is the overall distribution. The yellow are ag census cotton farms, and the green area are the survey responses. And there's, you know, we got pretty good overlap in terms of representing the distribution. Those are some areas that we could look into and do a little better there. But factors related to soil testing by cotton producers. So some considerations when we're dealing with this kind of information, we've got measurement problems and the sample versus the population, and post-stratification can help us get around that. Outcome variable, this is a count variable, so usual regression techniques, you know, you only do it 1, 2, 3, you don't take half a soil test or two-thirds of one, so the distribution is a little different in terms of explaining the use choice. We're also looking at a particular population within our survey sample, so there's selection bias, and there's different techniques that we can use to get around that. Off-farm factors may also be important with respect to determining adoption and then perceived usefulness of this information. So we've got some regional access variables that we include. Some of these variables are availability of farm dealership supply and access to urban areas. Population density would be another example. So farm business operator characteristics would be farm size. We would expect that larger farms would be more likely to be adopting or using this particular technology. Land tenure, so this is the percent of acres that you operate over the total acres that you own. And typically with that variable, the smaller that is, the larger the farm is in terms of their operation, because they tend to rent out more acres than they would own, but there are exceptions to that. Percent of income from farming, so this would proxy off-farm income sources. How much is the family relying upon receipts from agriculture? Experience, and I measure this with the years the person has operated the farm divided by their total age. So you get some sort of measure of how long they've been farming, education, and their diversity, crop diversity, and yield variability. Information sources, variety, private consultants, extension, other farmers, trade shows, internet, media, farm dealership availability. And these are really kind of interesting for us to look at in terms of how can these particular resources better target clients with respect to the type of information that they would want to provide, especially the distribution of farms that are using those particular information sources. Information gathering technologies that may be associated with the adoption or actually a result of the adoption, that's difficult to untangle, but we've got information about remote imaging, yield monitoring, mapping, computer management, and other remote sensing and other sensor technologies, excuse me. So just looking at the means comparison, out of our sample, we got about 14% of the producers did not use any kind of, that's reversed. Should be the other way around. 14% used soil test information, and the 86% did not. So, you know, we're talking less than 20%, which really it jives with, I think, a lot of the information that we're seeing with NAS data. So if we look at the frequency distribution, so this is just looking at the group of farmers that have adopted. How long did they wait before they test again? So you see a bulk of them, about 3 years. So this is really getting at that idea of anecdotal evidence coming through. 3 years, folks will test again, and you get a group of folks way out here who are waiting a long time. So there may be some reasons, especially either with experience, lack of interest, or it could be that there's not a lot of variability in their fields. So that would be certainly an impetus not to soil test. And this is just looking at some correlations between some of the farm operator characteristics. And you know, there are some relations here, but what we're going to look at that later and is in a regression. Cotton's farm size and yield variability, soil test users generally operate at larger farms, and that's typically what we see, and that just tells us that we're on the right path, at least with the data set that we're reporting. Yield variability was also greater for soil test users, which you would hope is your data tells you as well. Soil test users, they tend to farm a wider variety of other kinds of crops than cotton. So if you see these big bars right here, those are farms who've reported just farming cotton. You get this wide distribution here of other farms that are using soil test information, so they could be mixing it. Of course, they're mixing it with corn, soybean, and whatever else they'd be growing. Experience, non-users were more experienced than users, and this is kind of sounds kind of strange, but I think what this is telling us is that older farmers typically did not use as much soil test as much as other farmers. So, looking at the information sources, which we're just starting to really get take a keen interest in, adopters across the board, they're using information sources. For the non-adopters with respect to making decisions on soil test information. And you can see those distributions are pretty strongly different between the two groups. Looking at it in terms of the likelihood, farm size and tenure, they were positively correlated with adoption of soil test information, and older farmers were less likely to adopt. Again, that's typical of what we find. It's interesting, if you got information sourced from a consultant on your operations, you were less likely to adopt, and we need to look at that a little bit more closely. Internet use and trade shows had opposite effects with respect to the adoption. What I'm really interested in then is how long it takes for them until they decide they need to make another soil test. So farm size, larger the farms were, the more frequently they would test. And the larger your tenure value was in terms of ownership, the period tests were longer. So I think that's pretty much talking about smaller farms with respect to explaining that particular period. So I've got 20 minutes. This is it, fortunately. And looking at that, you may see the rest on the online, and I ran out of time. So, any questions? A
couple of quick questions.
Terry. None of this has, first of all, we're not able to distinguish between grid and zone. And then second of all, you're right, this is risk neutral. So we're not looking at any kind of risk aversion, and I'm trying to get it so we can put that into understanding this. And this is really a first punch at this data set. And it's next year we hope to have cotton yield response to be able to do a similar analysis instead of looking at the corn soybean, but we've got soil tests for potassium in cotton, and modeling that with the survey information is going to be a next step. So in terms of answering your question on individual variability of the test, I don't know.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. And now it's time for presentation of the Cotton Marketer of the Year Award.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is O.A. Cleveland, and I'm here running an errand, and I promise not to keep you very long at all. About 22, 23 years ago, the New York Cotton Exchange, as we knew it then, and over time we just still call it the Cotton Exchange, but formerly it's the ICE, I-C-E, International Commodity Exchange, but they began a program where they recognized the outstanding cotton marketer of the year. A grower, they take nominations from across the belt, and the only criteria is just to make sure that the participant is an active user of futures and or options. And we've had a lot of pleasure in, or the Cotton Exchange has had a lot of pleasure in sponsoring this, and the part of the package is certainly a tray that's presented to the person that's so named to receive this award, plus a very nice check from the Cotton Exchange. So at this time, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you, and if you would come on up, please, Danny, is Danny R. Finch from Jonesboro, Arkansas, Craighead County, also the farm areas in Caraway right there in that just west of Memphis there, a little west, a little north. But Danny and his brother and his two sons farm in the neighborhood of 6,500 acres or so. It's typically all cotton, but of course, like everyone else, the last couple of years there's been a little grain thrown in there. But he has certainly indicated that it's cotton that has always sustained his operation, and I think, like many of our growers are seeing across the Mid-South, anyway, in Southeast, that's. If we were meant to grow grain, we would have done it back in the 1940s, and we would have stayed with it rather than switching to cotton. But Danny Danny, as I say, operates the farm with his two brothers and a couple of sons that are 30, 34 years old. And I know he said he was only 36, so I'm not sure how he figured that out. But it's a pleasure. He's been an active user of futures and options, puts, calls. Right now, just make the comment, he's got a call spread on in this market. But with no further ado from me, let me just pull out this tray here and unwrap it and present it. Also, another part of this package is very pleasurable. The Cotton Grower Magazine is a co-sponsor as well, and their contribution is that they give a couple of stories to cotton marketing, or a number of, they highlight cotton marketing throughout the year in their magazine. And additionally, they devote the February cover story to the cotton marketer of the year and what he has done. Danny, this is the tray. Let me present you. It says Danny R. Finch, Cotton Marketer of the Year 2009, New York Board of Trade. So I'll give you this first.
Thank you, Ole.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. And then let me pull out an envelope here. And I'd rather hope this check was made out to me, but I'm scared it's going to be made out to you. Let's just see what it is. What it is, make sure. They don't usually let me carry checks around. It's what it should be. Again, congratulations, Ed.
Thanks.
We won't tell your wife about the check.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Y'all hold the plaque.